Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, Fed Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remember to join us with a talk cast every Thursday night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just join the SFU On Call streamed voice channel. And if you want to, you can find the invite on sfuoncall.com. And of course, if you want to watch us streamed live video-wise, which is you can go to twitch.tv at switch.tv/sfuoncall, you'll be able to join us right there. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, you can go to the podcasting account at sfuoncall. You have my personal account at Paul Franz, at PaulFranz, or you can go to my business account, which is Franz Games, FranzGmes. And of course, I have my Blue Sky accounts, which are sfuoncall.bsky.social, and also FranzGames.com. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets to the podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around on the net. Some quick news from ADB. Patrick was working on Module K last week. Also, same for Albert. He was again working on Acta 3. And also Thursday there was a meeting with Gene led by major changes to the FNE countersheet Zulu and the expansion of the basis sheet to 280 counters. At the very least, that puts a crimp in the schedule, so that it makes things just a bit more difficult. So this week on Found on the online store, we have, of course, the counter FNE counter sheet G from FO, that's fighter operations, that there's 108 fighter coin, quote-unquote, counters from the fighter operations. It goes for only $2. So if you need a backup sheet to have around for you, just order that right from on the online store. Moving on and forward to the SFB Online tournaments. Of course, we have the Sapphire Star 19 tournament. Bill Scheller defeated David Zimbars in the round two game. It says half the games are already completed. We still have the 18-turn TKR versus TKE game going. I need to check on both those round two games to see where are they in this whole process. They need to be finishing up. And with the 500 BPV tournament, game 1.2 has been completed. The Mighty Mouse has defeated Vandar in the Vudar. He conceded it. And now right flank May is fighting Eddie Crutchfield. The game is in progress. They've gotten to turn 4. They will be starting turn 5 on Sunday. That's November 9th of this week, and that's at 6 o'clock Eastern time. So if you want to join them, please feel free to do so. When it comes to online client stuff, not much happening there. As I mentioned last week, the Q Random IO addition as one of the die rolls to the client is completed. When it comes to Starfleet Warlord, not much happening there at the moment. You know, die roll 58 and 59 are both going well. I will be announcing this weekend, I will be announcing the next standard game, which is going to be standard game, I think it's either 98 or 99, I forget the number. Whatever it is, I want to make sure that I want to look at some of the ideas that have been put forth when it comes to the standard games, and you know how to have a different setup and so forth, see what I can and cannot do. Because I think some of them were suggestions which I basically could not do. I could, but basically it required me modifying possibly the engine, and I don't want to modify it. I'm trying to avoid modifying the engine, though. I think Bruce Grawl was more willing to modify the engine, possibly breaking stuff. But he also knew the engine because he wrote it. So when it comes moving on to the library report for this week, I'm not no progress there. I've been busy with other things. It's been a crazy week. And also with FedCom, again, no progress there. So with that is the news for this week. This is Paul Franz welcoming you to the Starfleet Universe on call. And tonight we have me, and of course, we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And it's going to be interesting podcast because of I don't have anything planned at the moment, but we will figure it out, you know? Maybe on the topics off the top of my head. It's been a very long day. So that's why it's gonna things will be might as well just roll some dice and do a topic that way, maybe, you know. Because
The dartboard of topics.
as I mentioned last week, just a quick reminder, which is of course I finally got the Q random support in for the client. I've not released it yet. I will do my best to release that ASAP so that it can be used not by me but by one and all. I need to look at it just a little bit more just because I think it might need a little bit of tweaking overall in that. But might as well bring up one quick also another quick thing, which is I've not actually I have to get together with Justin. I have to contact him and see when we can play, and I've not announced that. Looks like Fred and Frank and Ed have been doing quite well. They've already got through turn four. Turn five, they will continue on this upcoming Sunday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. For those of you that actually listen to this before Sunday, the November 9th. And there was also one quick note, which was basically that the Voodoo versus Klingon is over. On the Voodoo basically conceded the field and ran away. And they were figuring out the likely results from that is that the command cruiser, the Voodoo command cruiser, is likely killed in action or at least crippled. The war cruiser was seven internals and disengaged, and two war destroyers. No damage, and that disengaged. Only one shuttle is actually dead, and the Klingon just took like 13 in totals, internals. So basically, the Vidar felt like he was overmatched and conceded. It's like, oh, well, that happens. Actually, Jerry posted something on the discussion board about, of course, the Andromedans, and because, of course, he finally got around to, well, he got around to listen to the podcast from, I think, last week. He's just mentioning here that the Andromedans, and for that matter, most of the androids in the Caps Log battle group by 50 submission round permit the invaders to take up to two ships equipped with space device, only about one. But at the same time, applies the time for it to be able to move along the rapid transport network, which, of course, mine can't. So it is what it is. As in most have, basically, you have to have enough hangar space, any RTM equipped, must have to take all the task force with those in satellite ships. which do not have displacement devices to be carried along the RTM. In historical terms, this means that the Andromeda ships have slower operational speed than Alpha or Omega ships that went off the RTN, which I think we've known that from the history. Mellitus-Atlantic warships were no faster than the Andromedan ships off RTN, and so battles which did not follow the standard in Android doctrine somewhat were likely to be fought over in the LMC. And in this instance, he's just suggesting that he would have gone with the same setup the next iteration of the tournament, which to me, that would be fine. Obviously, to me, that would mean that my current force, I couldn't do. And I can absolutely see that probably to have the satellite ships that I currently have, that would mean I would probably have to modify my arrangements because I probably want to take the intruder in that case, which then I have three hangar spaces, which would mean I could take either two of the size and a half ones like the Mambas or three of the Cobra size ships. And probably I'd want to take three of the Cobra size ships in that case. So I could take the Eel and two Cobras. Yeah, that probably would do it just fine in that case. Or take, obviously, I could also, if we allow two displacement devices, then I could actually take a Python, which has a displacement device, which to me, the big issue with taking the Python, the displacement device is nice when it comes to a offensive ability to move around the other player's ships and get them out of their current fleet configuration. Therefore, you can draw other ships away from the group. So the idea is that you can hopefully bring them closer to you, or at the very least away from the main force and not like behind the main force so they're hidden. But overall, since the problem with the Python is that I think it only has two TRLs, and if two TRLs with I think six phaser twos, it has some better defense than the Cobra, but not that much offense. It has a little more offense, like two phaser twos worth, but I probably would prefer to take a Cobra if I was forced into that situation. Just because of it's cheaper and I could probably buy more. And as of course Gary mentioned was that about by the MTP, which is based at NWP, which is considered more or less equivalent to an interceptor, albeit one without historical access to warp booster packs. Big surprise. Nonetheless, those PF using Alpha currently permitted in the tournament are obliged to avoid taking mission variant PFs. It would stand to reason that the equivalent would be for the MWP variants. Ought to take, in other words, I probably shouldn't have been allowed to take the MTP, but if he agreed, so I was like, okay. So I get, which is, it's going to be a pretty dead ship. I mean, the MTP is going to be a pretty dead ship early on. But as I said, I still need to get together with him. And real quick update, I'm just double checking the post. Not much. Doesn't look like there's much damage. Let me double check that. Da-da-da-da. Just a lot of EW. Got some drogues on the board. Yeah. Doesn't look like there's much, if any. Well, no damage has been reported in the game. So, I'm assuming they're chasing each other and doing a lot of defense because you got the ECP, you got lots of drones, and sounds like that the Gorns were tracking the drones when they got the range one. So far, six drones are tracked by three Gorn ships. And this was this was Impulse 20 of turn four. So should be interesting. So obviously, if you want to watch the game, feel free to stop by, online around 6 o'clock Eastern time this Sunday. So quick update when it comes to the 500 BPV tournament. The Sapphire Star tournament is actually going okay. I'm just do a quick, don't mind me, check the standings because I know I saw some things. Yeah, that Bill Scheller is he won against David Zimbars, and Peter Bakia beat Crash and Burn. I know that the Carl Magnus versus Daniel is, holy cow, it's plasma versus plasma. They've gone so far into 18 turns.
No.
And to me,
Are
the crazy part about
they
that,
damage each other at all?
oh yeah, let me double check, 'cause I know you reported. TKE shields are 30, 19, 13, 30, 15, and 6. That's the TKE shields with three armor hit. How can you get three
Okay.
armor two shuttles left and one FPVT
Well,
left.
the armor goes first once they get through the shields.
Right, but I know, but he has a six box shield. Did he do a lot of repair work? Well, that's possible. It's been 18 turns. The
Were they
TKR,
bolting a whole bunch? I mean, that could be it too.
that's possible. Though there was a point where he mentioned that he was thinking about bolting, but he decided against it. Don't see it. But okay, yeah. So TKR shields are 9, 23, 2, 21, 24, and 3. 16 Eternals with 3 repairs. So he has like one repair left, I think. After repairs, still missing two phaser threes, three warp, an attractor, one shuttle left, and PPDs have been used. On turn 18, the TKE is at full speed, but TKR is limited to 14 for 8. He had a quick. A speedy weasel, yeah, that's what he said, speedy weasel on turn 17. But TKR does have the center of the board, currently going speed 12. TKR is full, might be full loaded this turn, and TKE is third turn arming for F's and second turn arming for the R. So that's, and this was reported 2 days ago. So, say, at very least. I guess it's been a lot of plasma has been tossed. I'm not sure if there's been any bolts at all. My only
Well,
quit
they're on turn like what, 18, you say?
18, yeah.
I'd say they've been doing a lot of that. Does it really matter? I mean, if they're on turn 18, they probably have bolted a whole bunch and missed,
Yeah,
and
and
bolted some more and missed. They probably started off with passes. I don't know. I wasn't watching the game, but that could just be like ballet versus a ballet. It just makes me think of like the little cartoon slap fights with like Ren and Stimpy, going at each other and not hitting each other at all. It's like, yeah. But oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, my only question is, when it comes to them, is did they is there have there been any cloaking involved at all?
Is there a tournament rule against like excessive like certain amounts?
Oh, I would.
Because I know in the regular cruiser tournament there is a rule about excessive closing.
Right.
You know, you can only do it for so many turn, so many impulses total in the tournament.
Right.
I believe that's. I forget if it's the equivalent of four turns, but
I would actually have to double
look
check
that up.
on that one. I mean,
Yeah, it could be a rule of thumb, it could be a judgment thing, and it could be a hard rule.
I know what you're talking about. I know that there is a rule. I just don't remember what the limits were for it
Yeah.
and when it applied, whether it applied to all cloaked engagements or had only applied to like Orion cloaks or something along those lines. It's been a really long time since I had to look up the cloaking limitation, the cloaking rules for tournament play. But I know there was one. It's not, I don't still remember what the actual conditions that are required. So, anyways, that's gonna be an interesting battle, to say the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually the one thing I probably should do, which is I probably should learn F&E. And to if not the because Lord knows.
I could teach you F&E in about 10 minutes. It's super simple. It is super simple. You know, you want to come down here tomorrow or
Well,
Saturday?
definitely not tomorrow. Tomorrow,
It's not like I've got a lot to do at the moment.
understood, understood.
I've got my statement thing here that I still haven't like done, or the VA thing, and I'm
Oh
like, man, I just don't.
you
But you
stop.
know, I any distraction from doing that is welcome.
Understood, but at the same time, you have to get that, you gotta get that thing turned out. You know, I know we still need to talk about the idea for your podcast.
I was thinking that would be something like for a topic outside of
Yeah.
like your
Oh,
podcast.
I was not suggesting
But
bringing it up here. No,
okay.
I'll just mention that that's one thing we need to. I know you wanted me to call you, talk to you about that earlier this week, and I ran out of time.
Well, that plus we still haven't like built a thing or found a thing for your thing,
Right,
for your
for
per
that
for
guy.
gamers.
Yeah, for the camera.
I mean, I wasn't really expecting to find something right when we went out to Ollie's the other weekend, but
Oh, understood.
on the other hand, you know, it was kind of like an extra thought. And now that I think about it, that might be something like for a trip by either Alliance or a camera store
Yeah,
specifically.
I would think a better one would be Camera Store. Yeah.
Yeah, or Alliance might have something like that. But on the other hand, you could like message me the picture through Facebook or something of the actual thing, so I know exactly what I'm looking at, and I could draw up a quick plan. And if we don't see something at like Alliance or a camera store, we could like, I don't know, go to Home Depot and get some stuff and make one. Because I think it would be a pretty easy build. I mean, what you're looking at is could literally be for the size of what you're looking to do. It's just a matter of needing to know how far away from the subject you want to have the camera sit. And do you want to have it able to move or not?
No.
Because if you don't want it to be movable, because we could make it so that you have an adjustable thing, or we could make it so that you have a fixed thing just sits in one spot, one way the whole time.
Yeah, well, that was the thing I was thinking of, which basically was to have it so that you have the one camera, this camera overhead, and basically just looking straight down as a static view. And then maybe have another camera which had maybe a side view or something along those lines. So
Okay, now
it
are
could be
you
switched back and
looking
forth.
at doing this with miniatures? Or are you looking at doing this with like just the counters on the regular size thing?
I understand what you're saying.
Like standard size map with standard counters, or jumbo map, jumbo counters, or miniatures. Because I mean, and in the winter, if we're talking about bringing some minis out, that could be a possibility. You know what? That's something we could do, is like we could do a minis painting weekend or something here too. But that's a whole other thing. Need a little bit more planning.
And hopefully at some point that
Well,
the
planning and prep.
right, oh, we need miniatures, and I'm not sure if
You would need minis. You would need maybe a priming thing ahead of time, a plan of how they're going to be painted, what
right.
kind of paint scheme you want to go for, all that happy stuff.
Yeah, actually, that actually might not be a bad thing at all, which is almost like a miniatures painting workshop. Get a bunch of, not a bunch, but a few, 10 maybe 10 to 15 miniatures maybe, and see if there's anyone that would have the paints and brushes available, so if people want to, they can paint them up,
Oh, you mean at the event?
at the event. Have that as an event.
Yeah, but you also need to have, like, people that will commit to coming in and doing it,
Oh, I understand.
because this is really a niche thing. No, when I was saying about painting miniatures, I meant like
Oh,
here,
yes.
like way ahead of time, so that you
Oh,
have something to
yeah, I
use
know what you, I
at the
know.
event.
Yeah, I know what you were talking about, which is
Okay.
basically have pre-painted miniatures that we could use as part of the event.
I mean, right now we don't even have hardly ever anybody showing up that will play SFP, except maybe you and Barry and I potentially,
Right. Oh, understood.
as the people who have played the game that come out there. I mean, there's
Understandable.
people in Baltimore that don't come up for it, that I don't think have ever come up for it, that I used to see at Origins, for crying out loud. So
I know.
yeah, but and there's groups out there now. They're on Facebook. They come up in my feed. So, but I don't know if they'd want to come out to do a painting workshop. I think this would probably be more of a let's come out and play kind
Right.
of event.
Well, I understood, but the reason why I say that, Doug, is just because I was thinking about something different,
Oh yeah.
because
We could try it.
right,
I
because
mean, if
here,
nothing else, we can paint a bunch of miniatures that weekend.
right, exactly,
I'm okay with that too.
and the thing is, people, the idea is just having an event. It doesn't have to please people. Could just know Star Trek. They don't have to know how to play Starfleet Battles, and doesn't have to play Starfleet Battles. They can just enjoy Star
Oh,
Trek.
by the way, I have posters if you want to pick some up.
Okay. Next time I stop by, I'd be happy to pick some up.
And I think we need to get like word out more. I think that's a huge deal. But then again, I'm also been considering hanging it up as an event too, because look, all the game shops in the area are running during each of the holiday weekends, and they don't want to support special events at our thing because that would be people out of their shop that aren't paying their bills. So I don't know. I'm thinking this could be the last time I run this thing. Unless there is a significant uptick in attendance.
Right. Oh.
And I don't see an uptick in attendance from the people that live in the area here because they're going to their game shops because, what do we have that they don't already do at their game shops? In a sense, there is that. We have a core group of people that still come out, but it's a small group of the core people. If everybody in the group on the Facebook group that is has come in the past and is part of that group came out on a weekend, even just for like one day of it, the event would pay for itself, and I would have to get an extra room. But the fact is, we have several hundred people on the Facebook group, and out of that, we're down to, maybe a dozen people outside of the D&D people. And the D&D people took a big hit in numbers. So I don't see it as long-term sustainable. I'm looking at this next one. If I'm taking a bath on four in a row, unless I hit the lottery and become a flipping millionaire, it's not really sustainable anymore.
Yeah, that
So.
I totally understand it, you know. You know,
I was
maybe.
considering the potential of like I don't see opening another game shop in this area as a great idea
Right.
because there's some, I wouldn't say polarization of some people go to one and they don't go to the others, but there's several of them, and I don't see, I just don't see the potential for it anymore as a
Right.
brick and mortar thing. I mean, I could see it in a club environment. But I've also seen like clubs run in the past. And I know there can be like a bunch of drama and club politics and stuff like that. And it's like, how quickly can that become an aggravating factor? How quickly can a few polarizing people destroy a club? I don't feel like finding out. And that's kind of basically it. I mean, who knows? I'm not in the best of moods when I'm like contemplating the stupid thing I have to type. And I wouldn't say it's a stupid thing, it's just a depressing thing. But I'm not feeling all that optimistic about it at the moment, which is kind of like, not me. I usually try to look at the potential better side of things.
Right.
But at the moment, unless there's some kind of an uptick or change, I don't see a future for it. I mean, I have some things that I want to do to try to make it better. But I also need to get the heck out of this place and, you know, get a vehicle and not be like spending my entire pension check on just having a roof over my head. When, you know, if I could find a landlord that doesn't think it's still COVID and, you know, isn't redlining everybody out by income, you know, you don't make three times our rent. Okay, I don't make three times your rent, but I've got, you know, plenty in my pension to cover your rent and pay for utilities and have grocery money and stuff. You don't make three times our rent. We don't want you. You know, it's,
Understood.
I feel trapped. I feel really freaking trapped. But yeah, maybe I'll find a place in the next few weeks or month or two, and life situation will get better. But on the other hand, you know, I want to get out of this place to talk to people and do stuff and, you know, drum up a few things. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about doing is literally contacting a bunch of small independent game companies and saying, hey, look, you know, small event over here. You know, we're not huge, we're not Origins, you know, we're not even Parks for, or we're not, what the heck? The one in Philly, you know, we're not
Pax.
that in size, but we've been here for getting close to 20 years now. It's what, been a decade and a half? Something like that.
Yep.
I mean, 2007. Yeah, we're getting close to 20 years of running this. And you know, I've seen it go up over the years from nothing. And then COVID essentially destroyed our attendance. And you know, since COVID, it's been like just going downhill, and it feels like a cycle. But there's also a, you know, I feel like there's a polarization of like some groups of people that used to come out just decided they don't want to for whatever reason. And, you know, and I can see different reasons why, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, it's a nice space for what we do, and it's like we need to have something that other places would like. And I think getting some of these flyers out to not just the shops, but to you know, different libraries, maybe some bookstores, possibly going to other events where people come out to do unique stuff. Like, I have a concept for, you know, I've been working on a game system, basically, and I have a concept for a huge, like, a big game that could be like a convention only kind of game or near only kind of game to do, where I would like to make a huge map for it. And it would be, it's basically a combination of minis but strategic. And I just don't know if the interest would be there for it from the group of people that we have coming in for it now. The people that are still coming back are mainly board gamers. I've tried to get miniatures people to come out over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I would have to go to Historicon or one of their events and say, hey, look, you know, I've got this small event. We've got space if, you know, anybody wants to come out and run something. Yeah.
That's what
But
usually.
on the SFB side, And I've been like, we haven't had a big SFB thing since I think Grantville. You know, there was a few people that came out and played a little. I think you ran a FedCom demo when we were at the that little place on Route 22 right after COVID. And that place, that was a game shop that had already said, "Hey, we lost our lease because the owner's selling the place." And you know, they went and moved on to, they changed their whole way of doing business to a whole different like genre of product lines in a, you know, flea market somewhere.
Yep, I remember.
So yeah, I'm just not feeling all that
Positive.
positive about a lot of things at the moment.
No,
So there's
understood.
that.
And when it comes to normally, when it comes to building up your own. If you're thinking about it as an online community, because obviously the one big thing when it comes to COVID that really hurt everybody, which is that all of a sudden with COVID, especially in the US, everything was shut down. You were forced to stay at home with COVID. And people that used to go out to do things, all of a sudden, were forced to change the way they thought, and instead of going out to do something, they would now they were forced to gravitate towards doing everything online on their computers or whatever game console they have or whatever,
Yeah.
and that broke them of that cycle because you can see that not just in gaming, you see that in gaming, you can see that obviously the most obvious one, of course, is churches. And religious communities where, part of what you did every single week is that you got together, a physical presence at a place, whether it was in my case, my church, or in the case of, Jewish, their synagogues or whatever, all those communities no longer could get together, physically get together. So it made things a lot more difficult, and
Well, the
some,
draconian guidelines and stuff did not help.
yeah.
It just, and then you have people after COVID, post COVID going, you know, that just stopped going out, which kind of blows my mind a bit. I mean, yeah, the whole other topic. So,
Right.
but even so, I mean, we had something like 70 something at our first one after COVID, and then it kind of went downhill from there. So, and that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if it was that killing it or if it was an extra game shop opening up or two,
Yeah, because that
because there was a point where there was only like, I think, two game shops in town and one of them shut down. Now there's at least three, maybe four. So, yeah, there's at least four now.
Yeah, and
So,
which is possibly part of the cause of the downward
and none
attendance
of them want, yeah.
because of we kept the people around. We were the thing in town to actually have people get together and allow them to play together, and
Yeah. Well, then you also have the Harrisburg Board Game Day people that popped up a few years back, and they were people that came out to our event, and they decided they wanted a free board game day, and they're out there doing their free board game day thing. You know, and they've done some that were on our weekend, some and some, but for and And granted, they do them kind of, it looks semi-randomly at different times at different venues where whenever they can find a place that'll let them do their thing there. And that's kind of hurt us too, especially when they've done theirs on our weekends, because some of our people go to their thing too.
Right.
And yeah, it's like the main thing I could see is maybe if we can hit a bunch of groups on Facebook and say, hey, here's our event, and you have people from out of town,
Yeah,
like.
but that's exactly what I was thinking of, which is possibly that is the issue, is that we've really been most of our attendance has been locals. I mean locals, as in within a half an hour drive of the convention.
Well,
Maybe
you're about 45 minutes away,
45 minutes to an hour.
roughly. And then, well, we our range of attendance is basically like you're up in Reading area, down to West Virginia. We've had that's the range. One of our guys comes in from West Virginia. You come in from Reading, and pretty much everybody else is from somewhere in between. And that somewhere in between spans basically four counties. We have people representing all four counties that, like York, Gettysburg, no, not Gettysburg, I'm sorry, York, Cumberland County, Dauphin County, and Lancaster. And then actually technically Lebanon too. I think Mike comes in from Lebanon.
Yeah, obviously, and me,
When
I'm
he
coming. I'm
comes
coming
out.
from Berks. I'm in Berks.
You're in Berks County, okay. So,
And
well, there
the
you
reason
go.
why I point that out is
Five,
because
we got five counties.
for me, now I'm not plugged into any of the local game stores here. I'm really not. I don't visit them at all. I don't know how many, there's only a few around here, if I recall correctly. There might be two. Well, actually, there's one which is right, like, less than a mile from me, maybe a mile from my house. And I don't go to that one. And I know there's one actually, I think a little north of Reading. But,
I haven't yeah.
Yes.
Had a random thought. I haven't mentioned it to Barry yet. I don't know if he knows, but I thought you might be interested in it. They're coming out with Brass Pittsburgh.
Brass Pittsburgh?
Yes. It's in play testing.
As in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because I don't think they're.
Yes. That's what it seems like. I saw a blurb on Facebook earlier today for that. The game company said something about it and posted a thing and said they're play testing it now. Sorry to interrupt. There was a
Oh,
random thought.
that's fine. That's
But
fine.
yeah. Well, I can give you some flyers to take to those places and maybe a bookstore or two out in your area.
And
I don't know.
you mentioned Brad's Pittsburgh, and it's like, yeah, from Roxley Games and co-designer of Brass Birmingham, Gavin Brown comes. Brass Pittsburgh, capturing explosive industry boom of the America's Gilded Age in the late 19th century steel belt, located northeastern United States. Players take on the role of a ruthless industrial titan in the age of the Cornelius Vanderbilt, Andrew Carnegie, or
Did
John
somebody
D.
play Herky?
Rockefeller, and Henry Frick, as they build a sprawling network of railways, pipelines, steel mills, oil refineries, and more.
I don't think it's authentic enough if you don't have somebody play Milton Hershey. I'm sorry. They should have the Chocolate King in there, too.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, there's Heinz, but that much a much later empire.
Right. Makes me wonder if one of the places they're going to have in Brass Pittsburgh is Reading.
Oh, who knows? It depends on how localized they make it, what scale they do it on. If they could make it all of, like, they could make it Northeastern altogether. They could do it for the whole Rust Belt.
Yeah, because I'm just... I'm just
or thinking, they could just do it for, like, Pittsburgh. Who knows? I have no details on it. I just saw the blurb.
Yeah. Oh, understood. I would think... That's the one thing I don't know about enough about the whole railway, railroad, you know, building out of the railroads back in the 19th century. But I'm pretty sure I can definitively say that they weren't pushing west with the railroads. I mean really west, you know, as in like going like Midwest. I think they might have gone off to like Chicago, but I think that's about as far west as when it comes to key areas of railway.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, well, I'll have to wait and see. I got a little of this.
No idea.
They say it's going to be, it's a 60 to 120 minute, basically 1 hour, 1 to 2 hour game is what it is. I can see that. See what we can do about increasing, drawing people out to it. So it sounds like part of it might be is doing what they do online, which is, one thing you do online is to bring people back interest in what you're doing. What you have to do is you have to go to where the people are, you know, whether that is Facebook and those groups or TikTok or Instagram or wherever, where, you know, for, you know, Board Game Geek, wherever the people are, you have to.
Oh, we've been listed on Board Game Geek.
Right. Oh, understood. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be listed, but also need people promoting it. You know, but that's one thing. It takes time to do that kind of effort to put towards that. I mean, and I'm trying to.
Dude, it was 14, 15 years of promotion until we had COVID.
Oh, understood. But I'm. You're missing the point, I think. What I'm saying is that we have to, in a physical way, do what is being done on an online way for all online activities, for something that, you know, that is going out to Historicon, go out, not maybe not to PAX, because I don't think, maybe PAX. But other, you know, smaller gaming conventions, you know, in the state, you know, outside the state, relatively, you know, local cons that have board games, and help to maybe point people to say, oh, you know, if you want something a little smaller, a little more homey, you know, more like your local gaming group, you know, you can come out to this, you know. That kind of thing, but you know that takes it takes time, it takes effort, takes time and effort. Is what it does, and that kind of stuff always does, This reminds me of I was talking to a teacher. Actually, he's a teacher at one of our local high schools, and yeah, ask some of these kids these days, what do you want to do? And then, I don't know. They don't have a goal. It's like, wait, you don't know what you want to do? That's kind of important. Because after you get out of high school, what's next? And one thing they say, oh, well, they'll be an influencer. Well, to be an influencer, that takes a lot of work. It's not something, you're not just saying, oh, you put up videos and all of a sudden people come to you. No. You have to go out to whatever, from Reddit or Instagram or whatever, and get your face out there so people notice and then it takes all that kind of work, and that's one thing that some of these kids don't realize. And actually reminds me of I was reading a small little article about it's from I'm a Knight of Columbus, and one of the Supreme of Knight of Columbus, kind of the head guy, was just mentioning how men no longer the young men coming up these days no longer have goals, no longer have that sense of trying to needing to accomplish something, and that kind of thing, and something, especially Lord knows. Okay, I'm not sorry. I'm not gonna go down that path. I'm just gonna go down the path of birth rates and things like that. That's what this place, as if you want to call us around, is about. But the whole idea of just being out there and building a community, which is not always an easy thing. So,
Yeah, I need a car.
well,
It's just so frustrating.
oh, understood. Understood. Well,
But also have to get out and go car shopping, so
yep.
find a
Well,
place that will like do the loan and all that happy stuff.
right. And the obviously your current issue is that if you do get a car, then you have a car loan. If you have a car loan, you have car payments. That means you
Yeah,
have
and that eats into
less
the
all it
budget.
eats into your current income.
Yep, and that's all the more reason why I want to have like a place, because then I can like flip that and say, okay, now I've got X left over, and I can say, okay, that's my grocery budget, that's my other budget for like my cable budget or internet budget or whatever, and then that's my communication budget, so to speak there, and then and what's left over is potentially saving up for a vehicle, cash, or a car payment of some kind. So take your pick.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah.
Next. Sucks to have like a fixed income.
Well, you know what? I hate to say it, but it's better than what I've had for the last 20 years. Better than what I've had since I retired from the Guards, 'cause it's like it's literally my first steady personal income since I retired from the Guards back in 2007. And
Understood.
if we weren't complete bastards in this country about how we treat the reservists, and actually like let us collect at our retirements when we retired like the active duty military does, my life situation would be totally different, because I would have been receiving this pension from 2007 onwards, and it would have taken a whole lot of other pressures off my life over the last few decades. So that's all under the bridge, and it won't change because, you know, we're cheap, and unless we're literally at war with another major power, we treat the military like crap when it comes to money. And that's basically it. But it is what it is, and I'm happy to have like survived and to the point of at least collecting it. So
Understood.
just have
Well,
to I just have some I have to make do with what I got. And you know what? That's more than what I've had. And I've been making do with like nothing for forever. You've seen what I've gone through the last 25, 30 years,
Yep.
life-wise, and that's basically it. But yeah, I want to get some kind of transportation and get out of this place and just go basically do the footwork to promote. And, because I don't see contacting all these places online as necessarily going to get the job done, so to speak.
Understood. Understood.
So now, on the flip side of all that, if one game company like Flying Pig Games or something that has a significant following says, hey, we'll sponsor an event and a giveaway and this and that and the other, and they bring in 50 or 60 people by themselves, well, that's a totally altering, positively altering thing for us. So, on the other hand, I just have to motivate myself. And this is a big part of the problem for me right now, is I have been so stuck on, climbing out of the hole here and trying to find a place. I just haven't been motivating myself to do like that sort of thing. And it's like it took a lot just to sit down and say, okay, I'm gonna actually do the posters
Right.
right now, the other week. And now they're sitting here for a week because I can't really go anywhere that it's worth putting them out to.
Right.
And that's basically it. And it's like, eh. I also have a bunch of small giveaways. The little 4-inch by 4-inch ones to cut up and give out too.
Right.
So there's that. And of course, anybody involved in our group can print out the poster. It's the group picture. It's there.
Right.
You can say, hey, can I print out a copy of this to your local print shop? And they'll probably do it. Then give them an extra one to hang up.
Okay. Well,
So with that little bundle of joy in mind, maybe like, I don't know. Just
Yeah.
do a schedule. Give me a schedule too. That part helps.
Yep. Will do.
Every little bit helps.
Understood. Understood. Okay. I got some ideas for some events. And obviously, as I did this past time, I want to do another live stream, one live stream per day, directly from Gamers of Winter, And if you want to join me on that, hey, come to Gamers of Winter. I'll probably do it at the same time, which is like 1 o'clock. I'll start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'll start streaming directly then, and then record it, and then obviously finally post it on YouTube and have it available for everybody to watch. So I think we should, with that, Doug, why don't we wrap it up for this evening, make it a short one.
Sorry for not being a great font of joy today.
That's fine.
All
That's
right.
fine. I slacked, and I should have come up with a better topic.
Well, here's a thought,
Okay.
a random thought I had the other day, and I forget if I got it thrown in at the end of the last podcast, but what about doing a Lego version?
Oh yeah.
Like we could 3D print a or something a the like the SSDs. Scale them, scale the SSDs for Legos, because they actually look pretty close. And then just have a little base and put all the pieces on it that represent all the parts of the SSD and just have them all labeled, you know. Or have something that represents phasers and something that represents torpedoes and, you know, different systems. And it's like as you lose your warp, you take your engine apart.
Right.
So, could have like them all numbered or something. It was a random thought, but
Right.
it could blow, literally blow people's ships apart. Shields might be a little interesting, but who knows? I mean, it could be done. It could very well be done.
Definitely.
24 box shields. Yeah, it's not that hard to do. Be a little painstaking, perhaps, to put it all together. But it could be fun. Could be something for the kiddos. But then again, the scale of that, too. If we think about it. How big would a Lego model of the Enterprise be if we did it in the abstracted sense?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, like with one Lego, single square Lego block being the base, 30 of them for a warp engine, and then the hull and everything else, kind of shaping them like the ships. How big would that actually be? And then, how does that extrapolate into something playable? Like, how many tables would we have to put together?
Yeah.
Would that be something where, like, where we move the tables apart and play on the floor?
Well, if it gets that large, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about it because Legos today, I don't know if it's one of those as a kid versus as an adult thing, but to me, they look absolutely tiny. I swear when I was a kid, these things were like a lot larger. I don't know if they scaled them down over the decades and changed them at one point or something, but they
Or,
look pretty darn
right.
small.
Or it's like the lockers when you were in high school, in elementary school, and you could barely reach the top, and then you go back to your elementary school, like when you're in after you're in high school, and you
And you're
go,
looking down at them.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's like, I don't remember them being that small.
How did I fit in that thing? Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's actually a random thought there that I think could be an interesting, maybe interesting promotional kind of thing. Something extremely different and fun to do. I don't know how well, you know, ADB would cough their skull up if you mention it to them, or how supportive Lego might be of it. It could just be something we did as a guerrilla thing and just said, okay, well, screw it. Let's throw together a Kazini and a Klingon and a Fed CA and a Romulan, and you know, have a oh, excuse me, four powers fight or something. And you could even have like little missiles. The drones could be like, you know, four Legos together. And as they get blown apart. And you just take a Lego piece off each one. Oops, there's one little Lego piece left on that drone, and it hits you. You take 12 boxes off your ship. Yeah, that could be very interesting.
Oh yeah, it reminds me back to
And
many,
fun.
many, many, many origins ago, back when it was in Baltimore, and BattleTech, and where the actual people had the little model BattleTech things, and if you like, you got your arm blown off, they actually cut off your arm.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty hardcore there, because those were minis back in the day. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It was
Remember
great.
going to Balticon and playing Traveler, like in between army tours,
Wow.
way back once.
Oh. Well,
Oh.
actually, at one point, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not sure you remember. I know I remember, and I was doing it for multiple years, which was I was actually running an SMB event at Balticon. It had at one point we had at least we had a few people there, quite a few people there. We got at least like eight at one point. I know that's not huge, but hey, it was, to me it was great. And then it tailed off, and I showed up and. And then at some point I went, it's not worth me going down to Bodycon during Memorial Day weekend, just to be the only person just sitting there waiting for people to show up to have even a chance of playing SFB or Federation Commander, you know?
Oh yeah, I totally get that.
Okay, well, now it's definitely time to
Okay.
cut things off.
So yeah, I'm glad we can end that on a more positive note.
Yes, agreed, agreed. Well, Doug, you have a good night.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. So, of course, we had nice little discussion about basically gamers of winter. Some ideas there, and obviously some of the woes of gamers of winter, how it's trailed off. When it comes to the number of people there, but it doesn't matter. If you really think about it, it doesn't matter. If you want to play Starfleet Battles or Federation Commander, I will be there in February. February 14th and 15th, I will be there. So if you want to play and have some fun, come on out. If it's just you and me, hey, that's even better. We can, if we want to, we can play all day long, just the Starfleet Battles or a Federation Commander. If we want to switch off to other games, hey, great. Whatever we want to do, we'll do. If we want to play some Star Armada, awesome. That'd be great. I'll have the games. You come along. Okay. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.